Rabbeinu about really specifically Nevuas Moshe, the topic of Nevuas Moshe. A wonderful sefer here, really spectacular sefer called Ayin Ba'ayin. We spent one day on it where we learned about the section of all the Mamorei Chazal where Amoraim and Tanoim appear to insult
one another.
Oh,
yeah. We spent a day on that.
Zingers.
Zingers.
Zingers is called Zingers. All the Zingers in Shas. He has another section. There's a few sections. One section. This actually is fantastic. This is Nevuas Moshe. The topic of Nevuas Moshe. It's a major topic.
When was Moshe punished from his wife?
Moshe, v'ata po amod imodi, after Matan Torah.
After
right after Matan Torah, Moshe was punished from his wife. Before Matan Torah,
how old was he at that time?
80 years old.
No, he was 80. The whole story
of
Yassin was when he was 80 years old,
so
1 year.
Right after. The Meragim was immediately. It was the first year. The second year.
Before the Meragim, Miriam complained.
Right, so she complained immediately, right after Matan Torah.
She complained right away?
Yeah, L'chaira. Right away. Everything happened in the second year. All the action happened in the second
year.
He was 80 years old when he went to Paro, and everything happened that year. The Yetzias Mitzrayim was 1 year, and all the activity of the Egel, the building of the Mishkan, and the Meragim took place in the following year. So the bulk of Jewish history took place in a 2 year period of time. Major bulk of the Torah took place. Can you imagine that? A major bulk of what it says. The 2 year period of time, it's unbelievable. Okay, now Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha plays a very prominent role. There is a Korach. Korach comes to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is challenged like none other in this week's parasha. It's already the third week in a row where Moshe Rabbeinu is being challenged. Moshe was challenged back in Parashas Nosa by Miriam. Miriam and Aaron, they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? But I'm sorry, Bahaloscha. Moshe, at the end of Bahaloscha, Moshe Rabbeinu was insulted, and the whole Klal Yisrael was very well aware of the challenge. It's certainly collateral damage. Miriam, the whole Klal Yisrael was delayed in their journey 14 days.
Did they not know?
She had tzaras, so why did she have tzaras? You're asking a very good question. It's Lashon Hara to tell you that she spoke Lashon Hara. It's Lashon Hara upon Lashon Hara. You're asking very, very good. On the other hand, Rashi in the beginning of Shalach says that the Meraglim are held accountable because they did not learn the lessons of Lashon Hara. They saw what Miriam said about Moshe, and they saw what her punishment was, and they did not take the Musar. So that is an indication that the entire Klal Yisrael knows what happened. If it says that about the Nisim, the leaders, where you want to go say it was classified information, they kept it in their garage with their car. It was classified. So it would appear that with Miriam, the slander of Miriam was known to the entire Klal Yisrael, because in Parsha Shlach, the Meragim, why is this Parsha Samach to the Parsha of the end of Bahaloscha with the story of Miriam, is these Rishaim saw what happened to Miriam for speaking Lashon Hara, v'loy lokhu musar, and they did not take the message, they did not take the rebuke. You don't speak Lashon Hara about Moshe, you don't speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it seems, on face value, that everyone knew. Now, you have to appreciate this point, is that, you know, whenever a person is challenged or he is taken to task for a crime that he committed, and then there is a trial, and he's vindicated, there's collateral damage. You can never cleanse the minds of people who will say, oh, he got away with it. He got away with it just because the court... It was proven to me 100% false. You know, you'll never be able to take out of the damage has been done. You can't go, damage has been done. Now, how do we understand Moshe Rabbeinu was criticized? He was criticized. Here you are, you have a wife, Tzipora. Your wife, look what she did for you. She fed you, she took care of you during when you were a fugitive. You ran away from Paro, you went to Yisro, she married you, she took care of you, she was with you, she saved you with Bris Mila, with the Malach Hassan Damim Lamulais. And here you abandon her. You abandon her for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You abandon your wife for the Ribbono Shel Olam. What are you doing, Moshe Rabbeinu? The whole Klal Yisrael heard about this. And Hashem said, how dare you? How dare you? How dare you say something bad about my Moshe Rabbeinu? But you have to acknowledge that damage was done to Moshe Rabbeinu's reputation. That is Parshas Bahaloscha. Parshas Shelach. The Meraglim basically are challenging Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole story all comes back to Moshe. Moshe took the Jewish people out of Egypt to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe has a mission. I have a mission. And now you're saying the mission was a big mistake. The mission, there's no purpose to this mission. Your whole campaign of everything that you did for us to take us out of Egypt, to bring us, take the Torah, to go to Eretz Yisrael, we can't get to the final step. So what was the purpose of this? We would have been better off living in Egypt. Al Sir Habasar. At least there we got free sardines every day. And now, so in essence, the Meraglim were challenging Moshe Rabbeinu. And now we come to strike three. Parshas Kor, 3 weeks in a row, our leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, is being challenged and being harassed. Korach gets up, Rav Lochem! Enough! Enough of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's time for new leadership. Step down. Vayikohalu al Moshe li'al Aharon vayoyimru aleihem Rav Lochem. Enough of you. We want new leadership. Ki chol ho'edo kulam kidoishu v'sarcham Hashem u'madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Why do you raise yourself higher than everyone else? Rashi here in Pasuk Gimel. What does Rashi here say in Pasuk Gimel? I see Pasuk Dalit. Here it is, Rav Lochem. Harbe yoyser midai. Lokachtem la'atzmechem gidula. They challenge Moshe. And when you go through the parasha, it's very shocking to learn that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day, we learned this yesterday in the afternoon, Rabbi Leza and Meir, and the Gladders, we learned this yesterday, at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he put down the rebellion was not about, the Moshe never went and vindicated himself. He only really vindicated Aaron and Aaron's children and Elitzafan, who was the Nasi. It's not so clear anywhere in this parasha did Moshe Rabbeinu ever come to respond to the challenge to his leadership. He just silenced them. He struck them down. The earth opened up and swallowed Dasan Vaviram, swallowed Korach and his children, his wives, and the 250 men, they died. People were quiet. They were silenced. But Moshe didn't really vindicate himself that I am the leader, and we don't find him providing proof that he deserves to be the leader, which
but he spoke to Hashem, he had a miracle swallowing him up. Isn't that proof enough?
That would be the proof.
Is it proof enough? Can you imagine today there's a person, in a lot of trouble, and they're coming to attack him, all different reasons, and then he just strikes down the whole team of lawyers, and all the eyewitnesses, they drop dead. Okay? Guy on trial.
If he points to them and says, I'm right, then they can drop dead. That's
They're on trial, they have all the evidence, they have the expert witnesses, everything is ready to go. And then the court date is set, and guess what? The judge dies, the witnesses die. Moshe Rabbeinu, they call Kulam Kidoishim Uvisoicham Hashem, Umadua tisnatsu alkahal. That's all they had on him. Okay, they but their complaint, what was their complaint? Their complaint is, kolam kulam kadosh. No one's denying that's definitely true. Kolam kulam v'soicham Hashem.
Even after that happened, they had the problem. After that, that's why by Moshe they had the problem with Matei Aaron, because they still were rebelling.
Exactly, they weren't satisfied. The remainders, the leftovers. So what did that prove? Can you imagine today someone in the secular world is on trial, and he says into the courtroom, it's a jury, and he says, listen, I'm going to tell you that I'm right. You see, I have a stick over here. I'm going to show you a miracle. It's going to blossom with almonds. And everyone, all the jury and the judge, oh, wow. Excuse me, is there a complaint? Don't bring me miracles. You know, it's a very difficult parasha when you think about it. Right. There's a complaint. The complaint is Kol ha'om kulam kidoishim uvisaycham Hashem. Did that ever change? Did that argument ever change? But that never changed.
How do you compare the two?
What do you mean to compare the two?
Your jury and judge there are non-believers. Here's a nation of believers.
Okay.
They see this miracle happen.
The miracle is a miracle. Very nice. It did a miracle.
But if you're a believer and see a miracle, you're a believer.
Tanur shel achnai. Who's right? Is the oven tameh or tahar? I'm right. I'll prove it to you. I want the shemayim, it should rain. I want the earth to do this. I want the walls of the base of it should collapse. I want this to happen. Miracles are happening in front of your eyes. Big deal. Do all the miracles you want. Do all the miracles you want. I don't care about your miracles. In the Tana Shalachnai, there was arguments to be made. You can argue like this, you can argue like that, you can say a svara like this, svara like that. You want to be raised by doing miracles? You're a miracle worker. Good for you. There are a lot of miracle workers out there. People who know how to manipulate nature, know how to do miracles.
So then you don't believe
them. So you just said the word believe. You just said a very powerful word. I just want to bring out this point about Moshe Rabbeinu. I think it's a very critical point when it comes to leadership, when it comes to many things about Judaism. In this parasha, we begin with an argument. The argument is a very good argument. Don't ignore the argument. Vayikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron v'yomer aleihem rav lechem korach was a chochom gadol. Chazal says a chochom gadol. Not the chochom from the Manishtanim. He was a chochom gadol. There's a chacham for the Manishtan, there's a chacham gadol. A chacham, maro l'shtuzo. What do you see? What do you need this nonsense for? Why was he a chacham gadol? Because, you know, his argument never went away. In every generation, you can say the same thing. Kol ha'am kulam kidoishim. That's taka true. Every single member of Klal Yisrael is sacred. Uvisaycham Hashem. So why you more than anyone else? So how did Moshe put them all down? They all dropped dead. The earth swallowed them up. And when there was, Rabbi Eskin just pointed out, when there was some leftovers, the Sha'ar Yerokos, who still were not satisfied, so Moshe says, everyone, bring me a mateh. We'll put the mateh in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vayifrach, and the mateh of Aaron blossomed. Okay, we do miracles. This is how it works. What about the argument? Kol ha'am kulam kidoshim. Everyone wants a piece of the action. Everyone wants to be able to serve Hashem in the capacity of leadership. Umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. So what's the answer? Now the answer is
Hashem made the decision. It wasn't Moshe's decision.
It's not fair. It's not a fair decision.
Life is not fair.
Life is not fair. Why not? Why can't it be fair? I have a solution. Kol ha'am kulam kidoshim. Everyone kidoshim will rotate. We'll have an election.
Democracy.
Judaism is not a democracy.
God appointed. It's not saying God's not fair.
But everything in the Torah follows the Chochmas HaTorah. There's a logic to everything. So what you're really answering is a pasuk in the Torah, which unfortunately I think I for sure forget to appreciate this, and I think it's a lesson which really is expressed in a very profound level in Parashas Korach. After Kriyas Yamsuf, there's a pasuk. We said this yesterday in the shir. Vayar Yisrael es hayod hagidoyla asher osa Hashem b'Mitzrayim. After Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a moment in time, a very holy moment. It only lasted for a few seconds, this moment. They crossed over the Yam, They saw the Egyptians dead. Everything was calm. They reflected what happened. They saw the whole picture. 210 years in Egypt. The Avos, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. There was a moment of clarity. Clarity. They had Yirah Shamayim. And then comes a few words which are gold and are words which unfortunately we forgot very quickly. Vayaminu b'Hashem uvi Moshe avdo. They came to a moment of emuna in two different, completely different concepts. And the pasuk groups them together in one expression, ki'ilu deshokul kine'ish kineged zeh. There's no, you can't separate one from the other. B'Hashem uvi Moshe avdo. They're emuna in Hashem and emuna in Moshe. Now let's understand something. Hashem made a world. I know you can go into Eichler's, or you can go into any good Judaica store. I guarantee they will have a whole wall of books under the topic of scientific proof of God's existence. Proof. Books, mamish. Article publishes many of these books. Living with Emuna. What is it? Proof. Scientific proof that God exists. There's no such thing. It's mamish hevel v'shtus. The definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Shem Shakai, she'omar le'oilomoy dai. What does it mean, dai? Chazal say the world was getting more and more advanced. And it was coming to a point where it would be undeniable that Hashem made this world. Undeniable. You would have to be a moron, a total nincompoop, a shaita sheba shaita to deny God's existence. It would be a sign, and Hashem die. That's not the purpose of this world. I do not want there to be in this world any proof, any zecher, any, Hashem committed the perfect crime. The perfect crime. There is no way you can attribute to this world, you can prove in a court of law that God made this world. All the scientific proof, the chance is one in a billion trillion, so maybe the world is one in a trillion, chveis, whatever, you can slug up.
Scientific probability,
fine, it's not proof.
Nah.
By definition, Hashem made a world, you cannot prove that Hashem created this world. Impossible. That is against Yadus. The only way that we know that this world belongs to Hashem is Emuna. That's the purpose of this world. Vayaminu she'omar le'oilomo dai. I don't want my name to be put on this world. I want man to discover me and have faith in me that I am the Baal Habira. And when you have Emuna in Hashem, everything makes sense. But can you prove it to someone? No. You really, really can't. You can't. It's, all these books, scientific proof that God exists, like you said, scientific probability. Excellent term. It's scientific probability. But proof? No such. That goes against the grain of Emunah b'Hashem. You can't prove it, but I believe in it. In the same sentence that says that Klal Yisrael reached a moment of clarity, a few moments where their minds weren't tainted with narishkeit and with negiois of their own benefit. There was that moment of clarity. Vayaminu b'Hashem. And you know what else they had a moon in? In Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, Taka, you are the leader. Moshe, you deserve. Can we prove it? Can we prove it? No. We can make 100 arguments why Moshe Rabbeinu should not be the leader and why we should not listen to him and whatever he says we should ignore. You can make 100 proofs why Moshe, but Jewish leadership is fundamentally different than secular leadership. In the secular world, a leader has to prove he is deserving to be a leader.
45 years ago, philosophy, one Brooklyn College, had it out with the philosophy teacher. I was the only Jew in the class. and basically butted head to head. My final take of him, what the reason I got an A plus was because I wrote, this is what you said the whole year. I listened to you. He was very appreciative. I said, now here is another booklet. And I wrote another whole booklet of what it means that in order for me to be a believer is because I don't have proof.
Exactly.
You want a proof? No, that's the point why I believe in you.
Exactly.
And I got an A plus on
that. This is a fundamental yesoid. But the point we're trying to make today, which is a chiddush, this is something which I don't think is chiddush. I think it's pretty obvious in the Torah, and the whole parashas Korach really is all about that. Moshe Rabbeinu does not answer the question in this week's parasha. The question remains unanswered. Madua kol ha'om kulam ki doishim uvisaychom Hashem umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. That question is ironclad and it never goes to answer. So what is the answer? We have emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu. The same way there's a principle of having emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam, there is a principle of having emunah in a leader. Emunah, I can prove that what you, that you are deserving, that whatever you say I should do, I can't prove. Moshe, I have a kashas on you, Moshe. There's a lot of kashas on Moshe Rabbeinu. Jewish leadership demands emunah, not just in what the leader tells you to do, but emunah that you are worthy and you have almost b'hashkocha pratis been appointed into this position because Hashem wants you to be the leader.
Which is impossible to prove.
Impossible to prove, 100%. In this, you tell this to a guy. So it's hard enough to convince a guy what Dr. Dov said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to go to a guy and tell a guy about a Jewish leader, I don't know why. Like they actually had a whole discussion about with Rav Moshe Feinstein when Rav Moshe Feinstein was Nifter. It was a demonstration in Klal Yisrael of he was our leader. And the guy in the New York Times, who made him a leader? How come everyone accepted him to be their leader? What do you do? You go to school, you get a degree. People ask you questions, and you get to, and they like what they tell you. So you go back and ask another question, and people all of a sudden your fame spreads. These answers are very, very. They wrote it up very eloquently, and this and this, all a bunch of nonsense, all total nonsense. All these answers. You know why Rav Moshe Feinstein was the manhig? Is because people had emunah in him. Why do they have emunah in him? They did. They did. Can you explain it? You can't explain it. Why do you have emunah Kadosh Baruch Hu? It was a Holocaust. 6 million people were murdered. How come we have emunah? Emunah is something which is something you can't explain. You can't touch. It's something spiritual. A Jewish leader is not something. It's not by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I think it's more of an appreciation of this concept. Not everyone understands this concept. But to go expand this concept into a Jewish leader, today you want to be a Rosh Yeshiva, you want to be a Rav. So it's a process. You have to have a lot of money. There's a process. There's a whole technique, how a person goes, how it happens, how does it come about that Jewish leaders are elevated and earn the respect.
It's based on the Amunas Chachamim. The Amunas Chachamim is what is now directing you
towards that person. So it's called Amunas Chachamim. And Amunas Chachamim is on par with Amunah B'Hashem. Vayaminu B'Hashem uvimoshe avdo. Moshe, we have a lot of questions. But it doesn't matter. The questions that it's Amunah. The whole story going forward in Parshas Tahaloscha, Parshas Nosoi, Parshas Korach, is Klal Yisrael. It's not a chesaron in Moshe. The chesaron is in Klal Yisrael. They are losing their emunah. There's a diminishment in the madrega of Klal Yisrael. Once the madrega of Klal Yisrael is lacking in emunah, so then all the questions are here. Who voted for you, Moshe? Who voted for you? Someone voted you in? When is your contract up for renewal? Who voted for you? once Klal Yisrael loses their madrega of emuna b'Hashem and emuna in their leader, oh, then we have all the questions. The challenge to Moshe was a challenge of emuna. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when the miracles happened, it was a moment of restoration. It was a shock therapy for Klal Yisrael, not to show. It wasn't proof that Moshe Rabbeinu is correct. It was moments of shock therapy for Klal Yisrael to recalibrate, to realign themselves, to put themselves in the proper frame of emuna. Oh, emuna. We believe now in Moshe Rabbeinu. Not because the questions are answered, but because of emuna. And this is a very powerful, I think it's extremely relevant today. Today you have leaders, there are definitely leaders. And you'll say, we don't put our faith in them. So you have to ask yourself, why not? Why not? So many people will tell you, the reason why I don't hold from this rabbi, I don't hold from this leader, is because I don't like him. I don't like him. He has problems. He committed, he did this averus. This avera, that avera, I know him, I did this and that. Is that really the reason why you don't have confidence in him? Because he did an avera? Because you suspect him? Or maybe the problem is there's something wrong with you. You look in the mirror and you don't have emuna in Hashem. And if you don't have emuna in Hashem, your emuna is lacking. So then you're letting the questions affect your emuna in Hashem's selection of who is serving today as a Jew. I'm not saying this across the board. There are certainly leaders out there that should not be in the position that they're in. We're not, okay, obviously we live in a different world today. We live in a modern world today. We're not talking about every single leader.
He said it in the Pasuk. In Bri'ai Ivra Hashem, in Kimot Kol Adam Yimutun Eile, Ufkudat Kol Adam, Lo Hashem Shlachani. Ve'im Bri'ai Ivra Hashem, again, you need a Bria.
We're going back to Bais Bereishis. Who created the world? So you're coming over here, you're saying, Rabbi Kalman is saying, is extending, saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu is now Hashem is doing a new act of creation. Who created the world? You're saying unbelievable. You say you're really, really enhancing this very, very much. Who created the world? Who? There's going to be an event now. The earth is going to open up. Who did that? I can't prove Hashem did it. Maybe I have some explosive device. I have some nuclear missile over there. I'm going to open up the earth. Do you believe in my Sibirachus? There's a Baal Habira? You can never, ever prove Hashem created the world. You have to have emuna. If you have
emuna... realize that only these 250 people perished that happened. Only them. Why only them?
Well, they were the instigators.
That's a tremendous miracle right there.
They were the instigators.
The ground opened up, you can't prove, but why only the people who complained?
Well, they were holding the guitarists. They were holding the fire pans. They were holding, they'll say, so
oh,
you,
okay.
You'll always go find a reason because they're holding the fire pans. The fire pans are
so
connected wirelessly to my smartphone, which triggers some type of explosive device. Or I secretly went and I tainted the guitarist. Well, you'll always find excuses.
That's why Moshe said me in Briah, because they shouldn't think that they died because of the miraculum, the Chayta miraculum, that they were destined to die. This was their time.
Moshe is taking them back to Maaseh Bereishis. In Maaseh Bereishis, you have emuna Kadosh Baruch Hu. And by Maaseh Bereishis, then that emuna will naturally translate over to emuna, emunas Chachamim. By non-Jews, this concept is so foreign. It's so, so far removed. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself is a challenge. To go say that leaders in this world, people who are elevated to position of authority, should be selected by Hashem, and you have to have faith in them, no such thing. This, only by Klal Yisrael can there be such a concept of giving equal footing to emuna in a Jewish leader, to emuna in Hashem, and acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected people to rise in prominence and in stature to be accepted as leaders who make decisions that affect your life. All right, now with that said, I want over here to go through a couple of interesting things over here from the Sefer Da'at by Nevuah Selukim. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique among all of the prophets of Klal Yisrael. He was the Navi, which Nevuah, and there was no one equivalent. And in fact, when the Ani Mamins, when davening is over, every single day, there are many leaders. The leaders in ancient times were the Nevi'im. Okay, the Nevi'im were the leaders. The Nevi'i Elokim, we have the Nevi'im, they were Shaiftim. The Shaiftim were also prophets. They were not called Nevi'im, but they certainly had the concept of prophecy with them. And Moshe Rabbeinu stands head and shoulders above all of them. And the proof is the Rambam, he divides it into two different animamins, animamin b'emunah shleima, shekol divrei nevi'im emes. And then there's a separate one, animamin b'emunah shleima, shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'sholem, hoysa amitis, nochamol, amitis, emes, v'shehu hoya av la nevi'im, he's the av of nevi'im, L'koydmim lefonav v'laboim acharav. We separate Moshe Rabbeinu from all of the other Nevi'im. What exactly is special about? So here in the Sefer elaborates on some of the different concepts to appreciate the differences. And a lot of it comes from the Rambam. So let's jump around. I'm going to turn the pages back and forth. Famous Chazal. Chazal say, Rashi actually brings this down. Where is the Pasuk? I don't know where the Pasuk is. Zeh ha-dover asher tziva Hashem. It says bar matos, parashas matos. In the beginning of parashas matos, zeh ha-dover asher tziva Hashem, Rashi's words are Moshe nisnabe b'choy omar Hashem b'chatzos ha-layla. V'ha-nevi'im nisnabu also b'choy omar Hashem. Moisef aleyem Moshe she nisnabe b'loshoin zeh ha-dover. So one example that demonstrates the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other leaders, what makes Moshe stand out, is Moshe said, Zeh Hadavar, whereas all of the Nevi'im at most were able to say the word Koy Omar. What's the chiluk? What exactly is the, what does this Chazal mean? So says Hashem. Zeh Hadavar, big deal. What's the difference between Koy Omar Hashem and Zeh? What's the difference? So the answer, the way he explains over here, and he brings rise to this is, the word zeh, koyomar, so says Hashem, more often than not, is expressed through a mashal. An example, most of the words of the prophets are given in terms of mishalim, the seer nafuach. What do you see, Yirmiyah? I see a pot, a steaming hot pot. What do you see? I see over here a makel shoket, Zachariah. I see a menorah, and I see oil and zaysim. Yecheskel, what do you see? I tell him to lie down on the side. Okay, you go through all the room. I don't remember anything anymore. But you go through all the prophecies. All the prophecies are all done through more or less mishalim. I want you to behave in such a fashion. Hosea, I want you to get married to a woman who's a zoina. I want you to have children. And then I'm going to tell you to divorce the woman. And you're going to tell me, no, I know Hashem. I know she's no tzadekis, but I can't just divorce her. I have children with her. It's way too complicated to get divorced. So Hashem says, no. So you're telling me I should divorce my people, Klal Yisrael. If you can get divorced, so I think I can get divorced. My relationship with Klal Yisrael is much more complex than your relationship with a Zoyna. So everything go over and over, and even the prophecies that seem to be straightforward are not. They're all derech mashal. Even kichatzoy salayla, even that word, kichatzoy salayla. How come Hashem did not say exactly at midnight? Midnight, as the clock strikes 12, go to Mayor Appledorf. He lives right behind Brooklyn College. I don't know how in the world he does it. He listens to the chime of the clock 24/7. Mayor, how do you do it? 24/7, you hear ding, gong, 24/7. What?
He doesn't hear it.
My father was talking. He lived under the train. My father lived in Bar Park his whole life under the trains, New Utrecht Avenue. How in the world? And not only did he hear the shake, the whole house shakes. I never heard the trains. I never heard the trains ever. Never heard the trains. I have no memory of ever hearing a train my whole life. Or I never felt the house shaking from the trains. Isn't it amazing? You get used to it. Okay? Kichatsoy salayla, as the clock strikes 12. Why didn't Hashem say chatsoy? What's kich? Approximately. Approximation. Once you're getting into approximation, already you play with your mind. You have to already be medame, me'inim, what's kicha? Approximately. Just say it as it is. No. The nusach of the example that Chazal Rashi gives, that koyomar, even by Moshe, is a mashal and leaves something for the imagination, even by Moshe, where it says koy, is kichatsoy salayl. So this is, but yet Moshe also had moments where Moshe said Zehadover, which Zehadover, according to Chazal, means perfect clarification that leaves nothing for the imagination. All of the Nevi'im, the most they can say is something like Moshe Rabbeinu Koy Amar Kichatzay Salayla, approximately. Leave something to the imagination. Nothing is going to be perfect. You have to be medaname in order to understand. That's the most a regular prophet can understand. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have clarity with Zeh Hadavar. Now we go to the next step. That itself is a very interesting parish. And now we go to the next, why is that so? And the answer is, whenever you give a mashal, what in essence Hashem is doing, kaviyachol, is he is lowering himself to the madrega of a man. If Hashem has to speak to prophets and tell them stories about pots and pans, and tell them stories about getting married, and tell them stories about palm trees, and about things sprouting, Hashem, in essence, is lowering himself to the limitation of a human being. A mashal is, you will never understand what's going on. You're not capable. So let me give you a mashal, the Dubna Magid. Let me give you in your little earthly world over here. You have a pot, you have a king, you have a peasant, you have a farmer. You live, you have paper cups. I'll give you a mashal about a paper cup. Because this you can relate to. And then take this concept you can relate to on your very mundane level and use it as a springboard to try to relate and grow and come closer to Hashem. Every single prophet never was able to reach to come speak to Hashem, as it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, ponim el ponim, peh el peh. It's hard to comprehend. Hashem is infinite. And to say that Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem, in essence, did not have to lower himself. I mean, it's hard to understand what that means. Hashem is, Moshe Rabbeinu is also limited. He's nothing connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I guess it means that concept of what Hashem intended for man. Hashem intended for man to be very great. Moshe Rabbeinu reached what was meant from Nase Adam, like it says by Rashi. Nase Adam Nemar Bishvilech. Hashem had certain expectations of what the pinnacle of what man can reach. And Hashem did not have to come onto plan B and lower his expectation and communicate with man on a level lower than when Hashem expected for man to reach. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only person that reached the pinnacle of what Hashem meant, the madrega of what Hashem had in plan for man to reach. So when Hashem spoke to Moshe, Hashem did not have to lower his expectation and speak to man and communicate with man on a lower level than what was meant to be. Every single prophet besides Moshe Rabbeinu did not reach that level. So when Hashem wants to communicate, Hashem can only communicate with them by Hashem, with chesed, lowering himself to man's lowly madrega and to communicate in a language and in concepts that a human being can see. This is an explanation of what it means, why all other prophecies are b'derech mashal, but Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is not b'derech mashal, it is direct. And this is brought out with the expression ze hadavar versus koy amar. Koy amar always connotes a mashal. Ki chatzos halayla. Moshe Rabbeinu is ze hadavar, absolute clarity, nothing left for the imagination. Why? Moshe reached the ultimate of what Hashem expected man to reach. Every other prophet never met that madrega, and Hashem has to lower himself to communicate with men on a lower level of a mashal. Okay, that is one idea. Another interesting idea, can it ever be that a prophecy does not come true? A prophecy does not come true. So we do know that there are definitely things that appear to the naked eye to be prophecies, and they don't necessarily come true. For example, Yaakov Avinu, when he runs away from Esav, he goes to Hamari and he makes a neder. Vayidor Yaakov neder lemar im yiye elukim imodi v'shmarani baderech hazeh shanei anochi holech v'nosan li lechem lechol oveged lulboish v'shavti v'es Hashem v'chulu v'chulu and then v'ho'even hazois yiye beis elukim. Every Rashi asks the question, why is Yaakov Avinu making a neder? This was something which Hashem told to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we have a right to assume that what Hashem said to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was a prophecy. And a nevuah. A nevuah. Hashem gave him as a prophecy. We have a general rule that kol divrei, it's an imamim. Animam b'emunah shlema shel kol divrei nevi'im emes. So is it not so that Yaakov Avinu told over to Yosef, you know, Hashem appeared to me. This is nevuah. It's nevuah. How could it be that words of nevuah is not going to come true? So here he explains, based on the Rambam, an unbelievable yisoid, really powerful yisoid. Got to be very, very careful in Chamishei Chumshei Torah. There are two categories. There's something called a nevuah, and there is something called a havtocha. Hashem does not always, when he speaks to human beings in the Torah and in Tanakh, he does not always speak with words of prophecy. Give over to prophets nevuah. Hashem, more often than not, gives over to prophets havtochos, promises. There's a difference between a havtocha and a nevuah. A havtocha is a promise, but there are conditions. Shema Yigroim Hachet. Yaakov Avinu, the reason why he made the neder, even though he had a havtocha, he still needed to make a neder, because Shema Yigroim Hachet. If something is given to you with a promise, there is no guarantee. A person can ruin it by doing averos. Something that is given to Klal Yisrael begeder a nevuah can never be annulled. No matter how bad the person is, no matter what you do to ruin it, it is impossible. And it is something which is very powerful, and that is why very often we learn this, we've come across this many times when we learn in the morning, in Nevi'im and Tillim, is most prophecies are written b'lashon ovar, in the past tense. Something, how can you tell when you read a passage in Nach, whether it's Sefer Yirmiyah, Sefer Yeshayah, Sefer Yecheskel, the Treyasa, Yeshayah, how do you know if it's a Haftocha? You have a lot of prophecies, what's going to be? Or it's a Nevuah. If it's written B'Lashon Ovar, in the past tense, that's a prophecy. That means it's a done deal. If it's written in B'lashon Osid of what's going to be, Oid Yeshu Zekeinu Zekeinas B'Rechavos Yerushalayim. It's a pretty scary thing. That's in the future tense. Oid Yeshu, they will sit. Zekeinu Zekeinas B'Rechavos Yerushalayim. And they're going to watch the children play. and all the wild animals are going to be at peace. V'chulu, and a child will play with a snake and a cobra and a scorpion, and they're not going to bite. It's very frightening. A lot of those things are said b'loshon osid, not b'loshon ava. And according to what it says over here, which is based on the Rambam, that means those are not nevuos, those are haftochos, promises. You do yours, I will do mine. But if you don't do yours, Shema Rachmana Litzlan Yigram Achit. But there are selected passages in Nach that are written B'Loshoin Ovar. And some of the Farshim, they're very disturbed. Why is there B'Loshoin Ovar? So they give an answer. They give this esoteric answer. Is that since by Kodesh Baruch Hashem knows the future, by Hashem it's Hoya, Hove, Ve'yeh, by Hashem prophecy, everything is all meshed together, there's no difference, the past, the present, the future. So prophecy, you know, so it's as if it already happened. He's saying over here in this Sefer something very, very different. No, prophecy is B'loshon Ovar because there's nothing you can do to prevent it from happening. It is a guarantee. What comes out of the mouth, what? He has examples here, he does. He has a whole, half the book is on this. But unfortunately, I ran through this like 99 miles an hour, just in preparation, just to get the gist of the site. We have to give you better examples, we'll try. Okay, we'll try over time. I actually am planning on spending a lot of time on this, because I need to prepare for Tisha B'Av, and I want to spend time on these things over here. So I do plan B'li Neder to spend a lot of time getting more clarity in this. So hopefully, B'li Neder will get back to you.
The phrase Odi Shama Bar Yehuda, that is the future.
Future. That's Haftacha. Shema Yigam Achit.
That's Shema.
Shocking, right? Isn't that a scary concept?
Well, this is what he's saying.
A scary concept. It's a very scary concept. He's saying Yaakov and Hashem promised Avram Avinu. Hashem promised Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Eretz Yisrael, and then all of a sudden Yaakov, he makes a neder. You don't make a neder. This is yours. Everything, you got all the promises. What are you afraid of? Shema Yigam Achit? No prophecy. No guarantee. Haftocha. It's not a nevuah. There's a difference between a haftocha of Hashem and a Nevu of Hashem. A Haftocha comes with strings attached. If you don't do yours, you're not gonna. If you do yours, you're guaranteed Haftocha. If there's no Haftocha, then you have to say, Nu, Tzadik V'Raloi. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, yes Hashem, Tzadik V'Raloi. Tzadik V'Raloi. Hashem, how could this be? What did these people do? Why do they deserve to suffer? Why? Hashem says, I didn't give you any haftachas. I didn't give you haftachas. You did. You had a moon in me. Good for you. You'll get reward in the next world. Not in this world. You don't have to understand. There are things that happen in this world that you don't understand. But I did what it said in the Torah. No. You did what it said in the Torah. Hashem is neman l'shalem socher toiv l'oisei ritzoinai. Neman. When? Whenever Hashem wants. But if Hashem makes a haftocha, then and you do what you're supposed to do, then it's not going to be v'ri'ises achor ayufonai lo yera'u. You will see Hashem's panim. Guaranteed. Because Hashem, if Hashem makes a haftocha, it happens. If there's a pasuk in Navi that says, "Oh Yeshu, Zekenim, Zekenim, Zbechavis Yerushalayim," and you did what you're supposed to do, you're gonna see a haftacha. There's no tzaddik v'raloi. And then there's a new madrego called nevuah, and nevuah is b'loshen ovar. You can't mess it up, even if you do all of the averos. It doesn't matter. A nevuah is nevuah. You have to clarify what is the difference between nevuah. A nevuah versus a haftacha versus just doing Hashem's ratzon and not having an haftacha. Hashem is neman, but the way Hashem works. Another quick idea is this is a very interesting idea. Is v'ata po amodi modi. One of the differences of Moshe Rabbeinu, Now basically, just to wind down right now, there are four main differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and everyone else. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw prophecy, he saw it behokitz, in a state of consciousness. Hard to appreciate that. All of the prophets, they received their communication when they were asleep. That's why Chazal say, why the cloud, one of their tzaddik says, very, very beautifully said, why did Klal Yisrael go to sleep on the night of Matan Torah? Go to sleep tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock is Matan Torah. You're going to sleep? Out of your mind? So Rav Tzadik says there's only one person that is zoiche to communicate with Hashem awake. Moshe Rabbeinu.
That's why I say that the Malach had to come to Avram to tell him how to shlach the Yafal Anak, because he was wide awake with a knife in his hand, and God didn't speak directly to Avraham. Why didn't God say to him, don't
because Hashem spoke to
Moshe.
Because Moshe would, even Avraham only saw Hashem.
Right.
Even Avraham only communicated with Hashem when he was asleep. So in order that Hashem to send the communication, he had to be a Malach. Very good, very good. Klal Yisrael sincerely believed the way they would be Mekabel the Torah is by sleeping. Nevuah, they would go to sleep, lie down, and shake. Like a regular Navi, a Navi is overcome. He faints, and he's a state of being asleep is when he has the divine communication. Klal Yisrael believed that Matan Torah, a divine communication of Kabbalah, that would come when they were in a state of unconsciousness. And Moshe woke them up and says, no, this is your one exception. Matan Torah is behokitz. Behokitz awake. The second difference is that Moshe Rabbeinu, we said this before.
And that's why they almost died.
Moshe Rabbeinu only saw things zeh hadavar, no mishalim. Hashem didn't have to lower himself to our puny minds to communicate with us. Number three, Moshe Rabbeinu was natural. Was even all of the, even when they were sleeping, they were terrified. This is a Peladika thing. This is something people don't talk about, this concept. The Rambam says. The Moshe Rabbeinu was relaxed. The Nevi'im, all of the Nevi'im, okay, so they're unconscious. They fall asleep, they have a dream. Everyone who has a dream is panting and raving in a dream. Some people, they're sleeping, they're having a wonderful time in their dreams. They have a very pleasant dream. When the Nevi'im fell asleep and they were in a state of unconsciousness, they also were in a state of terror when Hashem communicated. It wasn't just that they were unconscious. While they were unconscious, their bodies were shaking violently. Moshe Rabbeinu, not only was he awake, this is a shocking thing, he was relaxed. How could that be? The Gilu B'ra'adah. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam. Kol hanizim yireim nifhalim umis moy gigin. That's when they were sleeping. They were sleeping, unconscious, and they were still yireim nifhalim umis moy gigin. Umoyshe Rabbeinu kidaber ish el reyehu. He's awake. Not only is he awake, he's having a conversation. Shocking. Shocking type. Is it possible a human being can reach such a madrega? And number four, Moshe, all of the Nevi'im, when Hashem calls you, you respond. You wait in the waiting room the whole day until the doctor calls you in. Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever he wants to talk to Hashem, he takes out a smartphone. Whenever he wants, Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever he wants, on demand. On demand. You know, when you read the Rambam, how the Rambam describes this, it's just not normal. Moshe Rabbeinu's madrega, no mishalim, zeh hadavar, he's awake, he's natural, and has instant access to Hashem. And Koirach comes to challenge this. Can you believe it? Koirach comes to challenge such a person. Such a person that can talk to Hashem whenever he wants, awake, naturally, with no mishalim. No, you talk to someone, you tell them a mashal. What are you trying to tell me? I don't talk to me in English. I don't understand. Hashem speaks direct, awake, naturally, whenever he wants, and Korach still wants to take out Moshe. Because when you don't have Emunah, you got nothing. Even that you don't have. Even that you don't have. And when you have Emunah, it's a whole different world. All right, stop over here.